Morning of technical difficulties, right? What joy it is, isn't it? And I already got one. I already been told by Herb that it's not in the bulletin, and that is the Christmas Eve service is at 7. All right, so he told me to remind you of that as well. So something else is missing, right? So this morning we're going to look at the shepherds, the search of the shepherds. That little Linus cartoon that was done, that we just listened to, was done in 1965. How many remember that? How many actually remember that when it came out in 65? I don't. So I really don't know, because I didn't have a TV when we grew up as children. It kind of went out the door. And I don't know. I sort of know the reason why, but anyways. So I didn't get to watch it until quite later in life. But did you notice something that's really interesting when Linus was doing the reading, just out of memory? Where was his blanket? On the floor. Isn't that interesting? As soon as he got to that one spot where he talks about Jesus being the Savior, the blanket's gone. It's on the floor. His hands are in, right? I thought that's so interesting. What blankets are you guys hanging on today that you need to let go? That's kind of what it speaks to me when I see that all the time, right? So that I just thought that was kind of neat when I saw that, right? So, and when we finish today, we're going to sing that song, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks." And I got challenged to read what I used to sing it when I was a kid. We used to have Christmas pageants. You remember those? I always had to play Joseph. That was a given. And, of course, we had a young girl in church. Her name was what?
Mary.
I'm not going to, I know, she was allergic to soap, too. Okay, so it was pretty tough to do it. But anyways, and year after year, it was Joseph and Mary, you know. And it wasn't until I left when I was grade 10 and we went away to another school that I never saw her again. So never played the part again either, so. Anyways, we used to sing that old Christmas carol. We used to sing it this way. "Well, shepherds wash their socks by night." Okay? "Round the tub, the angel of the Lord came down and gave their socks a scrub. And when their socks were squeaky clean and sparkling like a gem, the shepherds put them on again and walked to Bethlehem. And when they got to Bethlehem, all looking nice and neat, the Christ child said, 'You got nice socks, but next time wash your feet.'" And that's how we used to sing it, you know. And, of course, when my parents found out, especially my dad, well, we got our backside tanned once in a while. You know, it wasn't a very happy Christmas time for us. But that's the fun of growing up, isn't it? It's just, you know, just a great time. But, yeah, so Linus leaves his blanket, and the shepherds wash their socks, right? And I noticed this morning that there's one of the shepherds I chose right in the middle there represents somebody in our church family. I didn't do that on purpose. I just chose shepherds. So if you just want to go and congratulate him that he's finally up on lights on the board, go right ahead, all right? So got to have a little fun in the morning, right? All these technical things going wrong. But this morning I'm going to look at the shepherds, the search of the shepherds. It's going to be kind of a little different sermon this morning. It's going to be one of those where God's word sometimes is, we read God's word and some of it's very simple, like having mashed potatoes and gravy and hamburger. But sometimes it's steak, right? We have to chew on a little bit. So this morning's sermon is kind of going to be that type of a sermon. Hopefully it's not, though. Hopefully you enjoy it, all right? Have you ever wondered why God chose the shepherds to be the first recipients of the glorious news concerning Jesus' birth? Ever wondered about that? Ever thought about it? We got to realize, too, the shepherds were people that were despised by the people of their day. They were looked down upon, outcasts from society. Basically, people used to live on the other side of the tracks. You know, their honesty and integrity was often questioned. They wouldn't believe what they would say. In fact, one of the reasons was because they were unable to keep the ceremonial law, right? They could not observe all the meticulous hand washing. If you were to read the law, there was a certain times you're supposed to wash your hands. It's like a doctor all the time. And they couldn't do that because of their flocks. Their sheep prohibited them to be clean. All of us who grew up on a farm or raised animals know that the barnyard goo never stayed in the barnyard or in the barn. It did end up in the house from time to time. All right, I know that for a fact. All right, because my mom got mad at us a few times. You didn't take your shoes off. And we left a little green stain on the carpet out by the front door. We're supposed to wipe our feet. So the shepherds are looked down as very common people. But however, God decided to reveal his miraculous plan to those shepherds. And I wonder if it was because of their occupation. All right? They're looking after sheep, right? And I think all of us are familiar with the fact, hopefully you are, that an unblemished lamb was offered every morning and every evening at the tabernacle in Jerusalem. How many of you knew that? All right? So every morning, every evening, all year long, two a day. So how many is that a month? About 60. How many of those a year? 720. Plus there were other times too, there were sacrifices. So a large amount of lambs were sacrificed at the tabernacle. And what the tabernacle finally did, and the priest did, is to make sure that they had a perfect offering, that it was always available. They had their own flock. So can you imagine the size of this flock that these guys had to look after? They broke it up probably in smaller ones so they could handle it. All right? And so they could go out and actually choose the one lamb that they needed for their offerings. And I've often wondered if it was these shepherds that were looking after those lambs. You ever thought about that? Maybe it was them that were looking after them, right? How precious to think those shepherds were the first to hear of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, Jesus came to be both the Good Shepherd, right, and the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sin of the world. John the Baptist, well, he's on the river, and Jesus walks by on the riverbank. And what does John say? He says, look, or behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, points as Jesus goes by. And if these were the sheep that were for the sacrifice, there's no doubt in my mind these shepherds knew what they were doing and what this all represented. There's no doubt that they had in their mind that someday soon the Messiah would come. All right? And after the course, we know the angels came and announced to them, the disciples said, come, let us go. Let us see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. See, these shepherds were seeking somebody. And they were not disappointed, were they? The story tells us they were not. Note that shepherds verified the facts concerning Jesus. In verse 15 of our passage, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. An event of tremendous significance had just taken place. The stillness of the night had been broken by an angelic announcement. And, of course, a blaze of glory as well, right? So it lit up the sky and lit up where they were. Terrified and frightened. I don't know about you, but if heaven opened up and you heard a voice, what would you be doing? I think I'd ask the guys to call 911 pretty quick, because I'd probably have a heart attack. But they were terribly frightened, fear, but yet, what is amazing, they were filled with wonder. It almost tells me that we're expecting something, someday soon. And the shepherds heard the words found in our passage in verses 10 and 12. But the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Christ. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. So the heavenly news was so astonishing and held such far-reaching consequences, those shepherds could do no less than go and actually investigate, right? Verify. This has to be true, right? Observe, they seriously verified the facts. They said, come, let's go to Bethlehem. At that point, nothing else mattered. Do you think they took their sheep with them? No, they left them on the hillside. Nothing else mattered. They had to go and find out for sure that Jesus was born. How those shepherds' response should convict us today. Over 2,000 years have come and gone since this recorded event. Yet have we failed to verify the facts concerning Jesus? Have we? Christmas comes year after year, right? Yet do we ignore the significance of this occasion? The fact that God invaded history for the purpose of redeeming you and I, our neighbors, our friends, and our family members who are far from Christ? The fact that Christ died so that whosoever can receive eternal life? The fact that salvation from sin depends upon the acceptance of Jesus as Savior and Lord? At times, we don't really investigate it. Seriously. We just kind of just, you know, think, well, it's just a baby born in the manger and that's it. I think that one of the reasons is just that sometimes we just kind of, we're so, shall we say, the word slipped my mind. Can you imagine that, eh? It's just always been something we've always done. Always something that we repeat every year, and it's kind of like, we got to do it again, all right? Kind of just sort of, shall we say, indifferent, all right? And even today in many places, in the church and in the Christian families too, the message of Christmas has no meaning anymore, right? I've been in some churches, and I've seen pictures of churches where they look like a department store, you know, Santa Claus and the whole works. Jesus is missing from the whole church scene, right? Now, also observe that these shepherds speedily verified the facts. They ran to the village. Some of the older translations say haste, right? They hastened to the village, right? That's the word we get speedo from. All right? They went with speed. It was urgent that they had to go. It was a matter of utmost importance. And off they went. Could not delay. They had to verify the facts that were announced to them by the angel. The sense of urgency concerning God's way of salvation is real in Jesus, punctuates the whole Bible. Quoting from the Old Testament, including the new message of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said, indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Today is the day of salvation. And that is right from the beginning of the Bible, right to the very end. All right? We cannot afford to be casual or careless with God. We must first seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And all the things of life, all those things that weigh us down and concern us every day will find their proper place. Your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he'll give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. We are to come with all seriousness and speed to Jesus. He is the answer to our basic needs. In the video that was played at the beginning, he is there for those that are abandoned, those that are lonely, those who are forgotten, those who are addicted, right? He came to meet their needs. Notice the shepherds accepted the findings concerning Jesus. Verse 16 of our passage says, they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Look at what those shepherds found. They found the miracle of the Savior's birth. In fact, in verse 16, they said they found Mary. Right? There's three. They found Mary. And the witness of Mary, I believe, is centered in the miracle of Jesus' birth. Mary was the mother of Jesus. And we need to realize that she had no relations with anybody no man, or even Joseph. All right? Luke 1:35 says these words. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And then in Matthew 1:16, of course, Matthew 1 is the long genealogy, right? Luke also has one too. But Matthew 1:16 says, "And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ." By whom is a very critical set of words and very important. Because what it is saying is that Jesus was conceived through Mary, but not through Joseph. A witness to Jesus' virgin birth. We know that Jesus was conceived when she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and not by Joseph. In order that his human nature would be what? Sinless. And that is why he is called the Son of God. All right? Jesus' humanity had both a heavenly origin through the power of the Holy Spirit and an earthly origin through Mary. Thus, that means he was 100% what? God and 100% man. Right? The nature, natural process of birth had brought Jesus to the point of delivery. The miracle of the supernatural conception to preserve the child from any hereditary sin. His was a supernatural and sinless birth. And so as the shepherds saw Mary and heard probably what had took place in her life earlier, they worshipped because of the miracle of the birth of Jesus. One thing we need to know, without the virgin birth, did you know we would have no Savior? If he had carried, let's say, I'm going to grab a piece of pen here and my paper. And I'm going to put a dot on it. Can you see that dot? You sure? Sure? Did you know that if he had a single dot of sin, that would mean he would need a Savior? Like every other person in the human race. Certainly could not have been your Redeemer or my Redeemer. Doesn't that just make you want to just say thanks? Give him praise and glory? Right? He was sinless. A supernatural child born of a virgin. That has to be kept within your minds as you remember this season. Now look at what those shepherds found. They found the message of the Savior's birth. They found Joseph. He was there too, right? Joseph was there. The witness of Joseph centered in the message of the Savior's birth. We know in Matthew 1, verses 20 to 21, an angel appeared to Joseph and said these words. But after he had considered he was going to do what? He's going to put Mary away. He's going to break off the marriage and everything else. He's going to make sure he wasn't going to make a public spectacle of the whole thing. He's going to quietly just end it all. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So no doubt, Joseph told them what he experienced as well. And they learned of a Savior born to set you and I free. In fact, Joseph witnessed to and confirmed the angelical message that they heard on the hills of Bethlehem. And whatever we think about at Christmas time, the thought of the Saviorhood of Jesus should be front and center. For when they were in that cave or that grotto, in the manger there, the cross was there as well. That's why he came. He came to die for you and for me. Christ came into the world to save sinners. So the cross was always there, even at the manger. Now let's look at what those shepherds found. They found the majesty of the Savior's birth. They found the baby lying in a manger. The witness of the baby centered in the majesty of the Savior's birth. Majesty speaks of his sovereign power, his sovereign authority his dignity, his grandeur and splendor. It's just mind-boggling to think that God would just take himself right down into a baby. Isn't that something amazing? Doesn't that speak something of his sovereignty, his majesty? Thus we have here the revelation of the majesty of our God. Let's look at the words found in verse 12. It says there was a baby lying in a manger wrapped in snugly in strips of cloth. One thing I always like to tell those that I teach and those that I preach to, read the words slowly and thoughtfully when it comes to God's words. When is the next time do we see Jesus wrapped in cloth and in a cave? When? John 19 tells us that two men took him from the cross, right? Took him to a cave in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then they wrapped his body in cloth. Interesting, isn't it? These writers put something in their writings to make us think. Look to another event. In the baby, we see the majesty of his identity. In the strips of cloth, we see the majesty of his simplicity. In the manger, we see the majesty of his humility. Whether we do or not, the shepherds did. They knelt by that manger and accepted their findings. They believed. And I also, that word, when I read that part too, it always hits my mind. Growing up on a farm with cattle, how clean do you think that floor was? It was pretty dirty. It had been used for years. And yet, the shepherds said, you know what? I don't care how dirty it is. I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to kneel before him. Man, it's powerful, doesn't it, when you think about that? All right? Notice the shepherds announced the faith concerning Jesus. Verse 17 and 20 of our passage says, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. So here we find the shepherds accepted all that had been said to them, what was proclaimed in the heavens, and all that was said by Mary and Joseph. And when they said to one another, when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go and see these things. Basically, what they were literally saying was, let us investigate what God had said to us and made known to us. The Bible reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Having verified the facts, they had accepted the findings. And now what did they do? They proceeded to proclaim, announce, and preach what they had received. Evidence that you and I have authentic faith is that we cannot keep it to ourselves. We must proclaim it. We must proclaim it. Have you done that lately? Have you proclaimed your faith? The shepherds did. The shepherds did it. Notice they publicly announced their faith. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning. When you think of spread, what do you think of? When I make my toast and put my butter on and put my jam on, I put it right to the very edge. Drives Kathy nuts. I put it right to the edge, just about to where it's going to fall off. That's the way I like it. That's the word I think. They spread it everywhere, made sure everything was covered. All right? What had been told them about this child. And all, listen to that, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Considering they were a group of people despised, even their words were questionable. But yet it says that all who heard were amazed by what the shepherds said to them. Those shepherds were at the bottom of the social ladder, yet chosen by God to be the first proclaimers of the newborn king. And they made known their story. The news spread, not just to Bethlehem, right? Went to Jerusalem, and then to the uttermost parts of the known world. Indeed, more than 2,000 plus years have passed, and yet we only find just a fragment of what was reported that night. The evidence that we truly have encountered the Son of God is we are willing and unashamed to declare our faith to everyone. And again, have you done that this week? Something happened at the bank. I was doing some banking at the, and the teller said something, and something was said. And I told her who I was, and she just said, wow, oh, I never thought of. Because I usually come in, I've usually got work clothes on, I'm pretty dirty, and don't look like this. And she said, wow, I never thought about that. So at the time, just to express who I was and what I believed, just in a few short words. How many of you got grandkids? Soon? Yes, soon. You're going to enjoy them. And you're going to spoil them too. Okay? Oh, yes, you will. Make sure you give them enough sugars when they go home, they go crazy, okay? That's a little hint from me, right? My granddaughter, she was over this weekend, and my grandson as well. She says, Grandpa, what's life? Pretty profound words to ask from a little girl that's only 11 years old. And I said to her, I says, Jesus is life. She goes, okay. Can you see it? And I says, and don't you think that your question's answered because Jesus is the one that gives life and made life? She was satisfied with that answer. It made sense to her. See, we can just make it very simple for a child to understand. Be ready to give an answer, all right, for the faith that you have. And that's one of the characteristics of the early Christians, too. In less than a generation, the whole of the known world heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We read that. In fact, in Paul's one of missionary journeys, it says that everybody in Asia knew about the gospel, all right? Some questions. Are we as vocal as the shepherds when it comes to sharing our faith? Some of us are pretty stiff and pretty scared when it comes to sharing God's word, right? And what God has done in our lives. Why do we need to be afraid of? Or do we just assume that people will know where we stand? I think we need to learn to the importance of making our faith in Jesus Christ public. Not just at Christmas time, but every day you meet people. Wouldn't that be neat then if we did that and all the Slave Lake knows? Well, that'd be just fascinating, wouldn't it? It'd be just exciting. No, they praisefully announced their faith. Verse 20 of our passage says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Nothing stopped them, right? They glorified and praised God. Everybody they saw, they told them. And once again, this is the spirit of praisefulness, and this is one of the distinguishing characteristics of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. So the Christians met. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Something was contagious about their faith. People could not resist the reality and the radiance with which they spoke of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I often wondered, could that be one of the missing ingredients today in us or in the church? Are people unimpressed because they see nothing joyful about us as Christians? You know, some days, some of us, myself, we look like we suck lemons all day. Correct? I'm there too, don't worry. I'm the same as you guys, I'm no different. Some days I'm afraid to share my faith too. All right? After all, let's never forget that the message of Christmas is the gospel of great joy for everyone. Right? That which is joyful and joyous is always contagious. And Jesus came to bring joy. In fact, in John 15:11, it says these words from Jesus, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. If that is so, be joyous people. So announce your faith and joy. Show it to those that come in contact with you. What a wonderful event this is, the search of the shepherds. They verified the facts, they accepted the findings, and announced the faith concerning Jesus. See, only when he becomes our personal Savior and Lord can we turn our world upside down and make known about the things concerning the child, Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. He is the one who came and died on a cross, shed his blood for us. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And someday soon, he's coming again. So, the search of the shepherds should be our quest today. Let's go and announce publicly what Jesus has done for us, joyfully. Like I said, it's pretty scary at times, you know, just when the guy is three times your size. But they still need to hear Jesus, and Jesus lives. Let's pray, shall we? And then we're going to sing that old Christmas carol, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks." All right? Father, we just thank you for the shepherds and their story, that you put it in writing for us. I know it's incomplete, but Father, there is so much in there that we can take with us as we go into our places of work, our places of business, and wherever we go, to proclaim and announce publicly that you are the Savior. In thy name, amen.